I asked Google because, you know, Google knows things, right? I asked Google the other day, is there a difference between a trip and a journey? There is a difference, by the way. Google knows. Google knows everything. How to change a flat tire to where can I find that in the Bible, right? All kinds of things. So what's the difference? Well, Google says that a trip generally is from point A to point B, that a trip generally is for leisure or for recreation, that a trip is shorter, a few days, or if you're lucky, a few weeks. You know what this means? I've been on a lot of trips in my life. Short stints of going to places that were fun and leisurely and short, right? Susie and I like to go to Fort Morgan, Alabama, near Gulf Shores. And to get there, we pack up the SUV, right? And we pack all our things and we leave and we head down. And we go as far down as Mobile. Now, if you've ever traveled down there, you know why. Everybody comes down to the beach on Saturday and everybody leaves on Saturday. And so I like to be in front of all that. On the other side of the tunnel, as we go down towards Fort Morgan near Gulf Shores. A week later, we pack everything up on Friday night, and we leave at an ungodly hour to be in front of all those people again and to make it home. There is something about the waves rolling in and rolling out and seeing vast, vast skies that leads me to peace. Amen? I love that. So this summer, I'm going. Susie and I are going. We're going to make a trip to the promised land first, Atlanta. Oh, I'm sorry. St. Louis. To see the Braves play them. And while I'm gone, Tom's going to preach. It's all scheduled. My parents took us on trips, not journeys. Though one trip felt like a journey, the year that we went from Jackson, Tennessee in a car, a small car, with my brother and my sister, and we went to Kentucky and Washington and New York, it felt like a journey. Our journey, though, according to Google, is different. It's different than point A to point B. Journeys, generally speaking, are not for leisure or recreation, leisure. They are for personal growth. They help us discover something about ourselves, something that can help us change and be transformed. And journeys usually last longer lengths of time. Not days, weeks, sometimes months, even years or a lifetime. My journey started more than 56 years ago when my parents brought me down to an altar like this one, and our two pastors, Paul Lyles and Jimmy Moore, came down. My sister was on one side of my mom, my brother on the other side of my dad, and I was in my mom's arms. And the preacher reached for me, and he reached into those baptismal waters, and he said, John Andrew, there's my middle name in case y'all wanted it. John Andrew, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It is a journey that I'm still going on. And I hope it lasts a lot longer, right? This morning, we're beginning a new sermon series that we're simply calling I Have Decided. It's 3 weeks. It's 3 weeks. And let me give you a map of where we're going to be. Today, we're going to decide to take the journey with Jesus, just like I have said that my journey. Even though we haven't really thought about it in those terms, we're on a journey with God already. Next week, it's real original. I have decided to follow Jesus, right? We're going to talk about the disciples and how they were called out of nowhere. They were doing their own thing, and Jesus says, drop that and follow me, and they did. Wow, what faith that must have taken. And then finally, on the third week, we're going to talk about sharing our faith. I'm wondering if you haven't had an opportunity that I might encourage you to do so, to watch a movie on Netflix called The Forge. Have any of you seen the movie The Forge? I'm going to be referring to that in the third sermon. And The Forge is basically a guy who takes a younger man and mentors him along in life's journey. It's a powerful movie. I encourage you to watch it. I can't always encourage you to watch movies, but that one, definitely I can. Today, though, we're talking about the journey. And we're talking about the baptism of Jesus. We set aside the second Sunday of every year to think about the baptism of Jesus and what it can mean for us. We haven't seen Jesus. Didn't he grow up quickly, choir? I mean, wasn't he just born a couple of weeks ago? Now he's 30 years old. Our hymn talks about the lost years of Jesus. We don't know what happened between 12 and 30, but now we know, Luke tells us, that Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. So his baptism is an initiation of sorts, the beginning of his ministry. You got that? And so this is one of those stories that you can find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's rare. All four record it, which means that it's significant. Matthew tells us that John, his cousin, the baptizer, meaning he was one who baptized people, had a conversation with Jesus as he saw him in line to be baptized with everybody else. And the Bible says, Matthew tells us that John says, I don't need to baptize you. You ought to baptize me. One of the questions we've always asked, the church has wrestled with, is why would Jesus need to be baptized? Well, he doesn't need to be baptized. But it is a sense of his initiation, the beginning of something, and it happens in his baptism. It's as if Jesus is standing in line with everybody else who did need to repent, who did need to be baptized, as if to say, I'm with you in this life in every part of it. So I'm with you here. So let's look at Luke's version. Notice how short it is. In the New International Version, it says, Jesus was baptized too. Four words. That's all you get. If only Luke's gospel was given to us, if we didn't have Matthew, if we didn't have Mark, if we didn't have John, we wouldn't have known where the baptism happened. We wouldn't have known that it happened at the River Jordan. If we only had Luke, we wouldn't know that the one who baptized Jesus was his cousin, John the Baptizer. So why does Luke only give us those four words? Jesus was baptized too. Why so brief? I think I know the answer. He wants to take the focus off of John. Choir, are y'all with me on this? Off of John as quickly as he can and put the focus and the camera lens where it needs to be on Jesus. Luke is more concerned about what happens after the baptism of Jesus than he is what happens during the baptism of Jesus. There are four things. Can I point them out to you? Is that all right, choir? Yeah? All right. So here's the first thing that happens after the baptism. Luke tells us that Jesus was praying. That Jesus was praying. Luke is the gospel writer who highlights the prayer life of Jesus more than Matthew, Mark, or John. There are seven more passages about prayer in Luke than there are in those three gospels combined, right? Before Jesus did something significant or important, he prayed about it. He went and said, God, now which 12 shall be my disciples? Outside of Caesarea Philippi, he was praying and they were walking and he turned back and he asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? Jesus went away to lonely places, to secluded places, to quiet places for the purpose of prayer. And if Jesus did that, y'all know what I'm going to say next? We need to be doing that. I want to say this. I want us to be a church that prays. More than that, I want everyone around to say, that's a praying church. Does your alarm on your cell phone go off at 11:02 every day? Mine does, sometimes at inappropriate times. I was running yesterday on my treadmill, 11:02, and all of a sudden, what is that? It's 11:02, and so I paused the music, and I started to pray. I want to expand this for us. I've asked you to pray for the church, right? For growth. I'll say more about that later. For God's will to be done, for us to be a blessing to this community. But I also want to know that this is a place where people can call and say, hey, could you put me on your prayer list? And there's no doubt people know that we're praying for them. After his baptism, Jesus prayed. That's the first thing. Here's the second. The heavens were opened. The heavens were opened. Right? You could see it. Isaiah 64 says this, oh, that you would rend the heavens open and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. Right? I love that passage. Trembling mountains, open heavens. And while they're open, the third thing happens after the baptism of Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes. The Bible says it descended like a dove. Like a dove. Isn't that nice? A bird. Calm, cool, collected. Like a bird that flows right in. Jesus, after his resurrection, in John's gospel, appears to the disciples, and he breathes on them, and he says, I give you the Holy Spirit. So like a bird, or like a breath, if you go to Acts, it's a strong wind, right? It's there too. So there's Jesus praying, and the heavens are open, and the Holy Spirit comes. There's one more thing. God speaks. Now, I want you to pay attention to this, because in Luke's gospel, the voice says, you are my son, the beloved, with whom I'm well pleased. Other versions, Matthew, Mark, John, get a little bit different. Each one tells it in their own way. One of them says, this is my son, the beloved, with whom well pleased, but not Luke. Luke says, you are my son, the beloved, with whom I'm well pleased. My dad went to heaven in 2018 when he was 86 years old. I still, to that moment that he passed away on that Monday morning, would love to hear my dad say, I'm proud of you. You're my son. I want that for us and for us to hear that from God. So Jesus was about to embark, not on a trip, but on a journey. And on that journey, he would understand who he was and who he was meant to be. My personal question for you today is, maybe you don't have words to go around this, but now you do. Will you go on this journey? Will you continue to go on this journey with God? Whether it's 56 years or one is 89 years or however many years, you may not have thought of it that you're on a journey with God, but you are. Will you take that journey with God this year? Y'all out there? Yes, I will. I want us also to take this journey as a church. I want us to be praying. After the baptism, I want us to be praying. I'd love to see the heavens open again and have a sign from God that comes down like a dove. And I would like to ask God this year, speak to us. talk to us. Tell us if what we're doing pleases you. Is there something we need to concentrate on that we're not concentrating on? Is there more to do? Friends, there's always more to do. Amen? There's always more to do. Or might Jesus say, hey, try fishing on this side of the boat. And you throw the net over there and there's so many fish you can't even pull it in. Upon amen. After our prayer, after the sermon, I'm going to invite you to come down and take a clear stone from one of these bowls. And if you want to, feel free to stay at the altar and pray there, or take it back with you at your seat. It's a reminder, if you have been baptized, that you are a son of God and that God loves you and he's well pleased with you. Just as a reminder. Put it where you might see it every day, like the windowsill of your kitchen, or where you eat breakfast, or maybe I know people who carry it in their pocket. Just a reminder that they are baptized. If you've not been baptized, I'd love to talk to you about that and schedule that for you. And after we've had a chance to come down, kind of like communion, come down and receive a stone and go back to our seats. And after everyone's had a chance to do that, I'll announce our last hymn and we'll stand and we'll sing. But I invite you to come and to remember that you are baptized or you want to be baptized. And this is a reminder. Will you come?